The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody, welcome to the True Wealth Radio Show. Today, I'm your host. Well, I'm not really. But
you're the host.
Yeah, okay. I'm running the soundboard. So, Matt Dixon, and with me in studio
is Justin Bruggeman.
Awesome. Yeah, David couldn't be here today, so we're holding it down for him while he is gone. But what I can tell you is I think we have a really awesome show for our listeners, and it's a little bit different than
campfire
kind of
talk.
Our traditional show.
Campfire talk.
Yeah, this is campfire talk, right? Like, we're going to kind of pretend like the microphones aren't even on. This is just me and Justin kind of chatting about life, right? And all of the things that you kind of need to know. And it's going to tie into your money, right, and your investments. But it's going to be a little bit different angle than you might be used to. So, Justin, typically on the True Wealth Show, you know, we go over, like, what's the stock market doing and, you know, how to, you know, maybe your top 10 ways to invest to do this, that, or the other, right? This is a different show, right?
This is
kind of off the grid, just talking about, like, some of the intangibles that maybe lead to financial success. So laying groundwork or being in a position where everything kind of happens organically and naturally.
Right.
And so one of the things that I kind of wanted to start off today's show with was talking about what goes into that unwritten resume, right? Like this concept of all the things that combine to make you you, and how does that kind of sell you in the workplace? Because
right.
One of the biggest things that really carries someone is income, right? Like
mm-hmm.
how much you make. And so how do you get yourself to a point where, you know, you have skills and habits and all these other things that bring you into a really good spot financially?
Right. And, you know, a lot of it is the experiences that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of look at this a little bit as, you know, the things you're trying to teach your kids or the things you want to teach your kids.
Right. And I think sometimes as adults, we have to revisit that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because like you can get caught up in the, like, what are we trying to show our kids? And then you sometimes overlook yourself and you're like, gosh, dang, like I'm trying to instill all this in my kids, but I'm not even walking it. Right. And so
right.
I think it's one of those things that's really important. Like you said, you know, how do we get ourselves in a better spot? And I think a lot of it has to do with kind of doing the small things right.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and this even isn't even a preach against college or things like that, but I've had my son ask me, is like, why go to college?
And that's got to be an interesting one for you because you're someone who did. Like,
mm-hmm.
you went to Oregon State and you got your degree, and now we're in almost like a different
time
frame where I feel like the college diploma, sadly, doesn't carry the same weight that it used to.
No, it doesn't. I mean, I think a lot of it, what it is it can open doors
mm-hmm.
that aren't accessible without it. But if that's
right.
not the direction you're going, then, you know, let's figure out a different avenue. But this kind of goes back as that's still building the resume, not
mm-hmm.
the unwritten resume.
Right.
And that's the hardest one even to preach as a parent even, is what are your habits and what are you doing when people aren't watching?
Right.
Like, what is your work ethic like? I mean,
yeah.
Even when I'm asking you to do stuff in the yard, are you messing around on your phone half the time instead of doing
mm-hmm.
what is asked? But those are real habits that are going to...
It carries with you.
Carries.
Yeah. I think you bring up a really good point, right? And when you start to do all of the little things, right? Like I mentioned
mm-hmm.
the little things, all those little habits that you can, you know, kind of accidentally come about, or sometimes it's purposeful, right? Like you make it a point where I'm going to do this one thing for 10 minutes each day.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those little tiny things start to make a really big difference over the course of your life. And so skills, I think, for me personally, like, are you acquiring skills as you walk down the road of life? Because right. I think a lot of people, they get maybe a skill, a single mm-hmm. skill, and they're like, well, you know, that's good enough, right? So, like, maybe it's the person who knows how to hang drywall, right? Like, right. this is a random example, but you have a skill. You know how to drywall really well, and you might end it right there, and maybe that is enough, right? Like, maybe you have a really successful right. job. That's great. But what if you keep developing more and more skills? Now you know how to frame, or now you know how to roof, and you become a general contractor, and now, you know, you learn some business skills, some money management skills, and now you're running a business, right? Instead right. of just going
instead
in
instead of hanging drywall for somebody else.
Right, exactly. So I'm saying develop your skills. If you stop, right, and you're like, well, it's good enough right now. I'm 30, you know, whatever years old. I'm done. That's all the skills I'm ever going to have.
Right.
It's like, well, what if you were to change your mindset and say, I'm going to develop skills that go past where I am today, and that's going to help me in the future? I think that's a really big piece.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, a lot of the successful people that I look at, I'm like, man, you have skills in so many different
right.
areas, right? Like, and I just gave an example of, like, contracting. Well, mm-hmm. you might have all of the skills to maybe even build your own house, but maybe you don't because, you know, you've developed something that's even paying better than if you were to do it yourself. But I think a big piece is just develop habits, develop skills. And then third piece being, like, do you have a really good reputation? That's another one that
yeah.
I think really can't be overlooked.
I mean, it's especially at a younger age, it's developing the relationships and learning how to communicate in real world, which is becoming more and more problematic now,
mm-hmm.
just because of how teenagers and kids communicate. It's a lot of shorthand and everything else,
right.
you know, in that way. They lose the person-to-person interaction because everything's done through phones now.
Yeah.
And so that's why even, like, you know, even just going to school, having that social interactions, team sports,
yep.
you know, especially at younger ages when you have even kids that aren't maybe not as good as other kids, having that dynamic is healthy just in growth.
Yeah. I mean, I think you bring up a good point, right? Like, it starts at a young age because you're going to get a reputation that will kind of go in front of you for your whole life, right? And, like, if you're still in the same community...
sometimes that reputation was built for you before you were even born.
Right. It's true. And you have to work to break it. But I think as people watch all the things that you're doing, you're either going to develop trust with people,
mm-hmm.
right? And people are going to know kind of deep down what you're really about.
Yeah.
And so if a lot of people watch you over the years and they're like, you know what, I can trust that guy, that alone might be worth a lot more in the workplace, right, than someone who's just really smart.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you continue to build your character, you know, you have a good work ethic and you're trustworthy, that changes how people talk about you even when you're not around. And so that's a really, really big piece. And that's, like, when we're talking about this unwritten resume, you can't really put that
right.
on a resume, can you?
No, you can't.
You can't just say, well, you know, I'm trustworthy and expect someone to believe it. It's how you perform over a long period of time, and people just organically kind of witness it, and you develop a reputation.
Yeah.
Reputation's worth a lot.
And the ability to be coached and taught.
That's
a big one. Because, I mean, you can even look at, we could teach anybody almost to do our job if you had enough time.
Time.
And if they're teachable, you know, and a lot of different things. That's somewhere that I lacked. I mean, you build, you know, boxes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Never had the time, never had the energy. Some I'd love to have the time and energy to learn.
Yeah.
But I also think that successful people continue learning.
Yeah, it is a big one. I mean, you just mentioned, like, building cedar boxes, right? Like, I can remember a time when I was getting married, 25, 26, I forget how old I was, and I didn't know how to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like anything. I had no skills. I knew how to play basketball. I knew how to do math.
Right.
Like I had a degree that was virtually worthless because it didn't really teach me anything. But I didn't have like all those skills, and we were just so broke when we first got married,
right,
that we didn't have anything at all. Like no furniture. We moved into an apartment and all we had was like a dresser and a bed, I think. And it was one of those things where I'm like, well, if we can't afford to go buy all the stuff, and then you see all these,
to build.
Yeah, I saw like a huge stack of, you know, pallets on the side of the road, and my grandpa luckily had some skills, and I asked a few questions and he had a few tools, and it's like, well, I just built a coffee table,
right,
and oh, I just built the dining room table. And so I worked on developing those, and I wasn't thinking like, let's go develop that skill.
Right.
I was just like,
it was out of necessity.
It was out of necessity. And sometimes I think that when you aren't handed anything on a silver platter, right, like having to learn all of those things can actually be a benefit, because a lot of people 100%. Are like, man, you know, I wish I was just like born into this or born into that, and you know, life is hard. It's like, well, yeah, life can be hard, but if you're resilient and you're willing to push yourself and learn the skills, I mean, that's, like you said, that's a really big thing. You got to be resourceful, and you got to be able to want to solve problems. And even in the workplace, right? Like, that gets noticed if you're a problem solver, if you're someone who is resourceful. Like, that's going to be able to carry you a long ways.
Especially now, because with all the technology, you can learn how to do anything almost.
Oh, my goodness.
As long as you have the time.
That's the really weird thing that we're living through right now. It's like, well, you used to have to, you know, go find the book or go,
right,
and then you had to put in a ton of time to learn something. And anymore, it's like, well, you can realistically go through and kind of, you know, I hate to use the word become an expert, but you can learn enough to get yourself by a lot of the times just by asking the right questions and being willing to push yourself a little bit. So, Justin, I realize that we're starting to run long on this segment. So let's do this. I want to talk about, when we get back, maybe some of the things that you wish that you knew like 10 years ago. So, what have you kind of gotten wrong? And moving forward, like, what are some things that you might be able to share with people that help them not make the same mistakes? Okay. So let's do this. Let's take a break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about those things. So you guys are listening to the True Wealth Radio Show on 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where today I'm your host, Matt Dixon. In studio with me today, the legendary advisor,
Justin Brueggemann.
Awesome. Justin, thank you so much for being here and for helping out on the show today.
Of course.
I think this is a really cool show because we are kind of talking about all of the things that... It's like that kind of campfire talk, right? Like, what do you know? What's on your mind? And there's some general prompts here, but we didn't really over-prepare this show. I'm going to ask you a series of questions and I'll kind of chime in here. But one of the ideas that I had for this segment was kind of talking about all of the things that you kind of wish you had known 10 years ago, right? Like, what are some things that you kind of think back on in your life and you're like, if I had known this and told myself this and listened, like, man, I would really have appreciated this insight. And I've got some stuff here for myself personally, too. But I think it's good to be a little bit vulnerable and just talk about all of the ways that maybe you were taught something that isn't true. right?
Okay.
Like, you can think back to the things maybe you even heard in school where it's like, ooh, they teach you this. And it's like, you know what? I don't know that I buy that, because I think listeners can really benefit from hearing this, because maybe we can help you either avoid a mistake that we made, or something that we've seen other people do that's a mistake. And it's like, you know what? Watch out for this.
Right. Okay.
Do you got anything for me, yeah, out of the gate, or do you want me to share one that I've got?
You know, really a big one, you know, to me, not even necessarily personally, but that I've seen happen, is debt. Like, financial debt is not only a financial burden, but an emotional one as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's actually overlapping kind of one of the ones that I had put on my list. I put on mine, and that's funny you brought that up. I put in quotes, debt is slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Good debt is still debt, so be really, really careful. Right. Whereas if you have excess money, right, and you don't have debt, that's freedom.
Right.
Right? Like, it gives you the freedom to do whatever you want to do. And so I think a lot of people, especially in America, they sit there and they look at the book and they're like, well, I've got $8,000 coming in, and so that means my mortgage can be $4,000 as long as my bills are $3,000.
Right.
And then I got this other $1,000. Okay, I'm going to go buy the boat. Right?
Right.
And then it's like, wait a minute. Like, you just figured out an equation to spend to the very, very top,
yep,
end of your capacity. That is the country we live in. That is the mentality that I would say 75% of people have. And it's the wrong mentality, right?
Like, yeah, and it was kind of created.
Yeah, it was.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, you drop interest rates to practically zero, and then you inflate home prices at the same time.
It was a killer combo.
Oh, yeah.
You're not wrong. Like, a lot of people were kind of suckered into the trap. You make a really interesting point. I don't know that I actually ever thought about it that way, right? Where it's like, hey, come borrow all this money. We're not really going to charge you much interest. You can get all the things. And then what happens?
Can structurally kind of trap you, too. As everything else gets expensive.
Yeah.
And a little bit of that is, it was, people could afford too much house. And so then when you're going back and turn to, you know, the roof needs replaced.
You know, I never understood it because I wasn't in this field yet, but I've got a friend, Nate, and Nate was telling me, he's like, Matt, interest rates are too low.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, they've been low for too long. And I never understood him back then, before I ever got in this field. And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is awesome. Like, go buy a house, 2% interest, go buy a car, you know, 1% interest, whatever, just go buy it up.
Right.
And now, like, whenever I see the rates, right, I'm always reminded of what Nate said, where it's like, this is bad. This is not good. Now I get it, because people did get trapped.
Yeah.
They set themselves up with too much debt, and now people are scrambling to try and make those payments. So that's a good one. I think that listeners can really take something away from that.
Yeah.
Anything else?
The other one, well, because this is a finance show.
Sure.
Is time in the market is more beneficial than timing the market.
Mm. If everyone could just internalize that, right? Like, buy companies that are valuable, that,
right,
are making money, right? And, like, I mean, we can't give advice over the radio.
Right.
But, yeah, like, just be patient. Have the time.
You know, even you have, like, you know, I'm sitting on some money. Well, maybe you sat on it for 3 years and you missed,
mm-hmm,
you know, you're waiting for the perfect opportunity.
You were hoping
to
that
come,
the market would pull back 40%.
And it doesn't,
yeah,
come, and you would have been better off getting in sooner. I mean, the easiest one, the advice is, you know, that I wish I would have knew 10 years ago is start early and often.
Right.
Because it changes everything.
Mm.
And developing the habits at the very beginning is, you know, saving 10% of your income, even at, you know, high school age.
Yeah.
And just creating that habit, because that compounding growth is going to make, you know, bigger differences than chasing returns.
Right. I got a simple one for you. It's not very profound, but one of the things that I kind of scribbled on the piece of paper when heading to the radio station today was, what people think doesn't matter. And that one, I didn't, I didn't grasp that. Like, that was a personal one for me. I always thought, like, man, like, you know, you kind of have to have a certain image or something, right? And so I can remember, like, when I got my very first pickup truck, I'm like, we got to make it look cool. Like, so we got the brand new rims, and I'm like, hey, this is awesome. I can remember, you know, buying the brand new car off the lot, and I'm like, hey, I got this shiny object. The older I've become, the less I care. And like, you look at my truck now, I mean, would it look cooler with a brand new pair of rims? Absolutely. But guess what? I'd rather my family have that $1,000 than care what someone thinks when they see me drive by. I'm like, it's fully functional. The stock rims are just fine.
Yep.
So guess what? You know, it's not getting brand new rims. It's okay. And so the older I get, you know, the more that really rings true that, you know, you're not, don't try and keep up with the Joneses, right?
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter. What matters is, how are things financially for you with your family and all the other things that are really going to bring about that true wealth thing that is the title of the show, right? So that's a big one for me.
And there's a lot of people that have those fancy things that should.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying don't go buy the fancy thing. I'm just saying, like, make it for you.
Correct.
Right? Like, make it for yourself. Like, if you want that $4,000 thing because it's something you've always wanted and you can afford to do it without putting it on a credit card or whatever, I mean, sure.
Like, right.
Don't go through life never scratching the itch. But don't scratch the itch because your buddy's scratching the itch and you're trying to keep up.
Can't live your life through other people's lenses.
Exactly. That's a big one. And the other one that I put down here, it's a little bit different one, but it's working without a plan is a good way to never go anywhere, right? Like, if you're just working and just on the treadmill and you're running, but you don't know what you're running for, that's a good way to just, like, not end up the place that you want to be. And I think a lot of people never actually ask themselves that question. It's like, where is it that I want to go? Right. And if you can ask yourself that and you can be kind of honest, well, then the work is meaningful. Right. But a lot of people, they're just like, you know, you ask them, well, what are you going for? Like, what are you trying to do? And I saw this in a meeting just this week. I asked that question. The person just looked at me like, I don't know. Like, I just think about today and I think about what do I got to do tomorrow when I wake up? And it's a 2-day timeline. And I'm not saying that you have to plan for the future perfectly and only look to the future, but I think that you kind of have to know where the car is headed.
Right.
So that's a big one.
Yeah. And having a plan and being flexible.
Right.
You know, especially as you're growing through, you know, the stages of even a career, is what you think you may want to do may not be what you want to do.
Right.
But it may be a stepping stone to get to where you're wanting to get.
Mm.
And so, you know, make sure that you're not closing any doors by not extending your either knowledge or your work ethic or your relationships.
Yeah.
Because when those doors open, you want to be ready to open them. Or at least have that opportunity.
One thing I always kind of struggled with was maybe like setting boundaries, right? And or having like this, I don't have a real good ability at saying no, right? Like, and I think one of the things that we got to really think about is our time.
Yes.
Right? Because there's always going to be something out there or someone that's trying to grab the time from you. And one of the things that I wish I would have been able to have told myself, you know, 10 years ago would be like, hey, Matt, make sure to realize that it's okay to say no. Because if you can do that, you buy back your time. And once you have a kid, that's when you really start to understand it, right? Like, time, oh my goodness, how value is your time? And if you're always running a million miles an hour in a million different directions, it's a good way to be burnt out and to underappreciate what it is that you have under your own roof. So I think that's one that I would tell myself. It's okay to slow it down a little bit, and it's okay to say no to a few things.
Yeah, another one is ignoring energy. I mean, chasing money. You know, doing something that physically or mentally drains you all the time.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have you talked to someone in this profession and they're like, I hate what I do? And you can see it in their face, right, their body language. They are miserable. And it's like, well, could you go do something else that, you know, else that makes you happy, even if it means that you earn a little less or something for a while?
Where it's quality, like, of life.
Yeah, quality of life. That's really the show.
I think the quality of life show.
Yeah, this is the quality of life show. We're sitting around the campfire and we're talking about life. And so I like that, Justin. That's a good one that you just brought up. Ignoring your energy levels.
Yeah.
How many people are sitting there on the rev limiter, right, on the red line, and they're about ready to explode?
Right.
And it's like,
I'm assuming a lot.
And what would you say to that person that is there? They're at that point where they're on the rev limiter. And they are feeling like they're ready to explode because they're juggling too many things. What advice do you give that person?
Yeah. I mean, it's either a different career or you need to have conversations with supervisors or expand.
Sometimes it's at home too, right?
Like, yeah, the home one.
Like you're carrying just too much burden at home.
Yep.
And so I think sometimes that can be a byproduct, and this is just me witnessing it, right? Like when parents are in the spot where they're just doing so much for the kids that they never are doing the things for themselves, or like you got to be able to be in a good enough spot, you know, especially if you're married or whatever, right? Where the relationship is getting the time that it deserves. And things are healthy enough on that front to where then you're setting this example maybe for the kids, where they can look at that and be like, oh, I see it. You know, that's what I need to emulate, and that's healthy. And if you're burnt out and you're on the rev limiter, the kids are going to see it, right? And then, like, that's just not good either. So you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the kids. You're doing it for the family. But Justin, I think honestly, we ran long again. So this next segment that we're going to go to after this obscene profit break, we're going to talk about weird rules that you live by.
Okay.
I actually prepped for this section more than I prepped for any other section.
this is your favorite, Matt.
I'm kind of curious, Justin. What are some of those unwritten rules that you live by?
I guess we'll find out after the break.
Okay, let's go to our profit break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about this. So you guys are listening to 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, the True Wealth Show. We will be right back after this commercial.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. It's your favorite show on the radio. I just know it. With me in studio today is
Justin Bruggeman.
All right, and I'm Matt Dixon. We're talking about, Justin, what would you call this show? Sum it up for me.
I don't even know at this point.
Okay.
Campfire talk about life.
Yeah, the campfire talk about life. I love it. When we left off, we had kind of talked about all the things that produce that unwritten resume, right? And that was the first segment, and we were kind of talking about all the different skills, habits that you have, your reputation in the community. And it kind of progressed into this, you know, maybe tell me some of the things that you wish you had known 10 years ago.
Right.
I want to pivot from that into talking a little bit about, Justin, just personally, you know, what are some of those rules that you kind of live by? They can be weird. They can be odd. But stuff that's worked for you over the years, and it can be anything.
I wouldn't even say it works, but I do get the constant eye roll from my children. But time is money is always.
Do you preach that one at
all
home?
The time?
Really?
And usually it's to get them to speed up and get out the door, because it's telling them that they're wasting my time because I'm waiting.
You know, you can ask my wife. I am like the most impatient person. When it's time to go and we're dragging our feet, I'm the same way. I can't handle it. That's funny. Sounds like we're similar.
And especially
regard.
Like shopping and things like that. I'm very much a point-to-point shopper. Mm. And, you know, if you're wasting more time in the store, it's just an opportunity to spend more money.
So Justin's someone that doesn't like to waste time. You like to... Be
no,
on
go
task.
In and get it out.
You
and,
like to go.
Yep.
Okay. That's an interesting
check the
one.
Box.
Okay. So I wrote down four rules. Yep. That's four rules.
I got a couple, but
so my first rule was never work a job where you have to rake people over the coals to make a living. That's
okay.
One that I've always just kind of held to be true, right? Like it's that concept of your soul is worth more than the money, right?
Right.
So
if you have to question it, you shouldn't do it.
No. You take that one job, right, where you're kind of like having to be a dirtbag to like make your living. Like I just didn't ever want to be thought of as like, you know, that dirtbag Matt. Like that's not
right.
What like I don't mind going on Marketplace, right, and like trying to flip something or make a ton of
right.
money or offer someone 50% of what they're asking, that's different. But when it comes to like what you really do for a living, like I always wanted it to be something where it's like, wow, you know, you were the person that helped someone.
Yeah, there's an impact.
Yeah, and I think why I like that kind of goes back to kind of what we were talking about in the last segment. If you're building a reputation, right, that reputation is valuable. It's part of that unwritten resume.
For sure.
So that's one that I've always kind of held near and dear. What about you, Justin? Other things that are kind of pillars of Justin?
This is actually one that David told me, but it stuck with me. And I think it's been like a year and a half ago. But he said, if you're saying no now, what are you saying yes to later?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're saying yes now, what are you saying no to later?
Man, the listeners, take that one in. Be a sponge to that, right? Because what's funny is that's actually like the lead-in to what I was going to say next. And it's not directly, you know, the same thing, but one of the other pillars I've kind of got is this whole idea that paying full price is what broke people do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like wealth is built in the margins.
Right.
That's a Matt quote right there. So, and it's just,
you're the reason I don't use Marketplace. Just so we're clear.
Yeah. Because I'm going to come in and offer you $2,000 for the $4,000 item.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think both those things that we just said are actually pretty well tied together because you got to say no to some things, right?
Right.
And I like to play the game of how much can I say yes to and still be well under, like,
right.
Like what's coming in versus what's going out. Because what I don't want to do is go 30 years of my life, my working life, and never have owned anything. I saw this thing online. Literally, this guy bought a house. And he was so afraid that it would lose value that he bubble wrapped the doorknob. He put plastic down over the carpets and he literally went through the entire house and protected it from any possible wear and tear.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm not going to lose a penny on this purchase. I'm going to preserve this thing. Right? Like that's the furthest extreme. So I think what life is really about is finding that fine balance where you are accumulating things, you are using things, going through things, but you're doing it at a rate that is sustainable, manageable, and at the end of the day, isn't damaging yourself financially.
Right.
So, yeah. What else do you got for me, Justin? That was a good
one.
Well,
this one's going to have some overlap, but another one I use all the time is work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
And it is my polite way. I use it with my kids all the time. It's my polite way of using common sense to solve the problem instead of either doing at half speed or, you know, just struggling through it. Like, you know, the classic one is like my daughter carrying stuff into the house, like put your phone down.
And then you can carry
And then you have another hand. Like, then it's less trips and things like that.
Yeah, that's a good one. I, you know, I've always believed that, like, working hard can be really overrated if you're not working smart.
Correct.
Right? And so the real edge kind of comes in when you're able to do both. You are working hard and you're working smart. And I think way too many people do neither one. They don't work hard.
Or smart.
They're not doing things that are smart. They're doing something, right? But it's not much. And it's like, how do you expect? And this is the kind of a pet peeve of mine. People that whine and complain when they are unwilling to do either. We have become a very soft country, in my opinion, where you've got a lot of people that just, they whine, but they don't, like, actually do anything, right? Like, they don't have skills. They're unwilling to go get skills, right? Like, and you look back over the course of their life and you're like, what work did you put in?
Right.
You underachieved in school. And then you got a job, but you didn't try and advance at that job. And then you just go down the list. And then, you know, they're the keyboard warriors that are online complaining about, well, this, that, or the other. And it's like, oh. And I'm like, stop. Like, that's not it. Just work hard. Work smart. Work towards something. And then, you know, you're going to end up in a good spot. And all right. Charlie Munger, right? Like, he has a quote, and I'm not going to do it any justice at all. But basically, it's this concept of, like, if you want to be successful in life, just do a little bit better than average for a long period of time.
be consistently above average?
Just be slightly, consistently above average for a long time, and you're going to end up way better off than most. But what really sinks people, I think, is they get really aggressive, right? And instead of making just a series of really good financial decisions, they go do something really outlandish. And it's like, you're going to spend a lifetime trying to come back from that.
Right.
Right? Like, oh, I found this one stock and I'm going to put all of my savings in it, all of my net worth in it. It's trading at a penny, and I bet you it goes to five, and then I retire, and it's like, ugh. Like, one bad mistake can really, really cost you, right? So, yeah.
Aim small, miss small.
Yeah.
Or just sorry, aim at I think the right... I watched American Sniper on the airplane on my way back, so I'm assuming that's where that came from.
Or just aim at the right target and take enough shots.
Just don't miss.
Oh, man. Justin, there's got to be some other weird things out there. Like, do you have any, like, weird quirks or anything where it's like, Justin always does this one thing and...
No, I mean, you know, the little things I try to preach, especially to the kids and stuff, is just be a good person and care about people. I mean, and that's the only way you're going to maintain and establish relationship is putting other people ahead of you from time to time.
Time to time, keyword there, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we talked about it earlier, like, you can't do it all the time. You got to know when to say no to things.
Yeah, but you can't do it all the time, otherwise you're a target.
Right, but you have to be willing to give a little bit, right? Like, you 100%. Can't just take all the time. So I think that's fair. All right, Justin. Well, let's take our last profit break.
Then we'll get back to this final segment.
Yeah, let's talk about how people can kind of miss the target on happiness. And then let's talk about how they can do some actionable things to end up in a really good spot. So you guys are listening to 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN, True Wealth Show. We'll be right back.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody, welcome to the True Wealth Radio Show, where today I'm your host, Matt Dixon, and with me in the studio is...
Justin Bruggeman.
And we've been just chatting it up today, having a good time in studio. If you want to know what we talked about, I can't really tell you, so you're going to have to go back and check out the podcast, because today's show is...
It's the unwritten resume, bud. Yeah,
the unwritten resume.
It's everything that's not on a resume.
That's a good way to put it. Yep. All those soft skills that we don't really talk about very much on the show. Justin, there's a lot going on here, right? Like, we talked about the things that we wish we had known growing up, some of the rules that we live by today. How do we wrap that up into the kind of the next layer of this thing, where it's talking about how can we pass some stuff off to people and talking about, hey, don't miss out on the boat that is like that joy piece, right? Like, I mean, happiness, it's kind of fleeting, but like, how do we get to a spot where we can be joyful regardless of the situation that we're in, and be better investors? Well, what do you got for me?
Spend less than you make.
It's a good
invest.
One.
Invest. Yep. And maybe lower your standards a little bit.
What if it's not really the money?
Right.
But money is involved. What if it's that concept, right? Like, it's not the money, well, but money is involved. I think that that's where people start to get things backwards sometimes, right? Like, they're like, well, if I have the money, and then they'll say, you never saw anyone frowning on a jet ski before, right?
Right.
Like, that is the happiness piece. You had the 10 minutes of happiness, but then you go home and have a month of torment because you didn't buy the jet skis, the bank did, and you've got to try and come up with the $700 payment for the 15 minutes of happiness. So I think we need to focus on, it's not the money, but the money's involved. So don't confuse excitement with happiness. Those are different things.
Right.
One fades and the other one's going to last.
Yeah, because excitement's short term. And yeah. I mean, I have this, you know, jet skis, it's a great example.
Mm-hmm.
We live in Southern Oregon.
Yeah.
You know, without a wetsuit and everything else, at best, what do you get, 5 months out of the year?
At best.
Maybe.
You're probably going to get two because you're busy.
How many times can you go rent one before you can pay for itself?
Yeah, and just, in 2 months of jet skiing, if you go every weekend, you went 8 weekends. You bought the jet skis to go 8 times a year, and then you have the headache of maintaining them.
Insuring them.
Storing them, insuring them. All of the things, right? And so I think that brings me to this kind of light bulb idea that is, you know, you're not going to get joy out of consumption, right? The contentment in your life really comes from your ability to kind of control your finances, control your money, right? You can control things pretty well. But what you can't do is just consume to no end.
Right.
And then expect somehow for that to be a moment of happiness for you. I mean, it might be a moment, but it's not going to be an everlasting moment.
Correct. Yeah. And so it's a matter of, you know, contentment from the control of your money, not the consumption. So,
yeah.
You know, living within the means, you know, establishing even the same happiness and excitement level to your own scale.
Mm-hmm.
And if the scale is too low, then you need to figure out how to raise the scale and raise your lifestyle to match it.
The most joyful people I think I've ever met
are broke.
But it's, you know where they find the joy, though? Even the people that have a lot of money, the key is they find their joy in usefulness.
Yep.
In those relationships, right? They're useful people. And they go out and they help people, or they provide something that benefits others. I mean, I've seen that time and time again,
yeah.
Right? Like, I think about my grandpa, right? My grandpa is super, super handy. He'll drop anything. He'll show up at your house, fix your water heater, and he's one of the most joyful people I've met.
Mm-hmm.
And what is he, I mean, 90 something years old, still going around helping people out. And so he goes and he blesses others, and in that he finds a lot of joy. So I think, you know, if you look at it, the guy's got a lot of good relationships, a lot of family in his life. Strive to be like that, right? Where you are able to put yourself in a position where you have good relationships and you're able to go help people as much as you can. I think there's a lot that's wrapped up in that.
There really is. Because if you're, you know, rich and alone.
Oh, man.
Then,
what's that?
I mean, depending on the person, I guess, you know, maybe that's.
I don't think anyone ever. Yeah. What you just said, like rich and alone, does anyone aspire to have a gold casket?
No.
I mean, some people do, but it's, man, that's a sad existence.
And the relationships, you know, and the experiences, you know, that are available, do you just give your children? Your children aren't going to remember, they may remember a Disneyland trip. But they're going to remember Thanksgiving dinners more than that.
Oh, yeah. It's
even
true.
If it's, you know, just with family and
those
friends
are my
or camping
memories,
trips.
Right?
Camping trips
were
always mine.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, I can remember those Thanksgivings of eating so much pumpkin pie that you have to lay by the fire on the floor because you're worried about vomiting. Like, those are the good times, right? So, I think we say all of this to say. Most of what we chase really isn't what we want a lot of the time. So,
right.
If you kind of strip it all down and ask yourself what's left, that's kind of where that real wealth begins. So, Justin, I know that we're kind of running up on the end of the show. Talk to me about if people are like, hey, help me get in a different mindset or maybe manage my money so I don't have to have that be that other thing that stresses me.
Right.
How do you get a hold of us so that we can help you get to a point where you're living a little bit better, maybe?
Of course. You can call the office, 541-375-0898, or you can send us an email, info@littlejohnfs.com.
Perfect. I like it. So, if you need someone, we're here. If you have someone that you're already working with that's great and you love them, that's good too. But we're out of time. So, you guys have listened to the True Wealth Radio Show.